I don't plan to be before you long, but I do believe there is a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 5, 10 through 16, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, 10 through 16. Verse 20. The Bible says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow their trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great voice. Then the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Verse 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord with the priest and continued blowing the trumpets. And on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did this 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early, about the dawning of the day, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the priests, to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Verse 20 said, so the people shouted, and when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straightway before him, and they took the city. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If I don't preach, at least you can say you've heard some scripture on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, for the time that is ours to share together, I want to talk from the title, the topic, the theme, overtaking your walls. Overtaking your walls. For many, the passage which we read is one that is very familiar. In fact, many of you here remember singing as a child the Bible song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls, come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. However, to understand what God will speak in Jericho, you have to go back and read in the book of Joshua and remind yourself that when God calls Joshua and the children of Israel to take over the promised land, that he gives them 5 promises as they begin their journeys. 5 promises that God lays out to a people that are on the move and are going somewhere. He tells Joshua, I'm going to give you the place of promise. Every place that you walk will be yours. Your enemies will not be able to stand. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hear the promises of God, my brothers and sisters. God is saying, God is faithful. He will never leave us, and he will fight for us.
Yes, he will.
My brothers and sisters, wherever you are in life on this morning, whatever you are dealing with, I want you to be reminded that God is faithful. God is present, and God will fight for us. It is with these five promises that God moves the children of Israel across the Jordan River. He gives them victory at Gilgal and leads them to Jericho. My brothers and sisters, Jericho stands about 4 miles west of the Jordan River. The children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 3, and it only takes them a few minutes to get to the border of Jericho. Jericho, and that is a fortified city. The walls of Jericho stood some 12 to 15 feet high. It was fortified on every side. You couldn't get in and you couldn't get out. However, God had gave the children of Israel a promise. He said that these walls will come down. So God tells the children of Israel, as they look at the fortified walls, he tells them, don't worry about it, I got it. I got a plan to bring the walls down, and the plans go like this. I need you to get up every morning for 6 days, take a lap around Jericho, being quiet. And on the seventh day, I want you to take 6 laps around Jericho in silence, and then on the seventh time, when I say shout, I need you to open your mouth and give me the loudest shout you have, and watch how the walls come tumbling down. Check out the strategy. Check it out. God says, for 6 days, get up, walk once around the city with your mouth shut. On the seventh day, get up early, take 6 laps around, don't say nothing, but on the seventh day, take 6 laps around, and on the seventh one, when I say shout, open up your mouth and give me some glory. Step back and watch me do what only I can do. Now, if there are any good Baptists in the house, you already predicted what this sermon is going to be about, because you ain't never heard a Baptist sermon about Jericho that didn't teach about the power of praise. That one of the lessons God teaches the children of Israel is that something happens when you make a decision to give God glory. Something happens when you wake up in the morning and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Something happens when you come to the house of the Lord and so on Sunday and declare, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Something happens when you say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My brothers and sisters, when you open your mouth and declare his glory, God begins to move. There is power. There's power in praise. But friends, to get to Jericho and only preach about the power of praise is to miss the depth of the lesson that God is trying to teach us. I love praising the Lord, but I know about the power of praising him. But I also know that a Sunday morning shout without a transformed life on Monday means nothing. You can't come into church and pretend to give God praise would seem to me that if all God wanted to do was to teach them how to shout, God would have said, when you get to Jericho, take one lap around, and after the first time, shout. And if shouting was all I wanted you to do, I would have brought victory when you shouted. But that's not what God tells them to do. God commands them to shout after the seventh lap. Listen to it. I want you to get up 6 days. Take a lap around the city. Don't say anything. On the seventh day, take 6 laps around. Then on the seventh time, when you take a lap around, when I say shout, open up your mouth and give God your best praise. The Lord says there is something about walking around the city in quiet that I need you to learn that will bring victory in your life. Can I help you out this morning? Number one, the text suggests that God wants you and I to learn the ministry of presence.
Amen.
God says, I need you to learn how to show up.
Amen.
I need you to show up when obstacles are great and it seems impenetrable. And I had to ask God, why take 12 laps around Jericho if nothing happened and nothing happened? My brothers and sisters, some scholars would suggest that the Lord was commanding them to take a reconnaissance mission. But if it was me, after going around the city 2 or 3 times, it wouldn't be hard to come to the conclusion that ain't no way we getting in. So it wasn't that, it was just a reconnaissance mission. It doesn't take 12 laps to figure out you can't do it by yourself. They find out quickly that this is not going to be easy, and maybe that's why God commanded so many laps. He says, I need you to show up when you don't know what it looks like, when it doesn't look good. I need you to show up. I need you to show up when the odds are stacked against you. I need you to show up when you don't feel like it. And you don't like them and they don't like you. You got to show up every day. And make your presence known. One of the signs of the power of God in your life is when you have the courage to show up. When you know the meeting is about you, then you still show up. When you know that it may get ugly before it gets better, and you still show up. When you know they crazy as all get up, and you still show up. When you don't know how the tests are going to go, but because you've got God and God is in you, you come and you make your presence known. God says, if you want me to bring the walls down in your life, you've got to show up at the wall. Whatever you want me to do, you have to show up where you want me to do it. You've got to show up. As they're marching around the city, not only do they see the wall, but then they begin to look up. And they see the residents of Jericho on the wall. And we learn that God does not only want us to show up when there are obstacles in our way, but he wants us to show up when opposition are intimidated. While they're marching around the wall, they see folk who are standing against them. And I said to God, I don't know if I can handle that. That would be discouraging to look up and every day see the same folk hating on me. And the Lord said the reason I had them march around the city was not for them to see their enemies, but for their enemies to see them. to know that they got some courage in them. I need the enemies to know that they ain't never scared. I need the enemies to know that they will show up at any time and any place because it's about to go down. I need the enemies to know that they got some back. You got strength and you got spirit. I wish I had one or two people in here who said the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but he's given me some strength. Come on, is there anybody in here who can say the Lord is my life and my salvation? Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You need to show up and be seen. Not only do I need you to show up when there's obstacles, show up when there's opposition, but I need you to show up when it doesn't make sense. What God commands the children of Israel to do in marching around the wall militarily doesn't make sense. Anyone who knows anything about battle knows that whoever has the high ground has the advantage. So when God tells them to march, they are at a disadvantage because their enemy has the high ground. It had to be somebody in Israel who said, Joshua, I ain't going out there. So the Lord, because he knew he was dealing with a fearful creature, commands Joshua, just don't take the people, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. Because the Ark of the Covenant is a reminder of my presence. That wherever the Ark of the Covenant is, you know that God is with you. So tell the people to take some courage because the enemy may have the high ground, but you got God. They may have the advantage, but you got the power. That as long as the Lord is in your life and God's hand is on you and he walks with you and he talks with you. I wish I had about five folks on the knees with the depth of their heart. If God be for me, who can be against us? Is there anybody here who's ever been in a weakened position, but you had a strong God, and even though things were stacked against you, you got the victory, not because of who you were, but because of who God is. And the Bible says that our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other. Text suggests that we should have a ministry of presence. But the text also suggests that God wants you and I to learn about the ministry of placidity. Let the church say placidity. Placidity means quiet and serene. Undisturbed, unshaken, unruffled. My brothers and sisters, in order for you to possess this promised land, not only do you need to know the ministry of presence, but you need to practice the ministry of silence. Amen. The Lord says, march around the city and keep your mouth shut. Take a lap and bite your tongue till it bleeds. Your problem is not just the wall in your way, but your bigger problem is your mouth. And you've got to learn how to tame your tongue. What's hurting some of you the most is not what they're saying about you, but it's what's coming out your own mouth. Remember these children of Israel and their forefathers and foremothers got on God's last good nerve because they kept on complaining every time they opened their mouth. Were there not enough grain in Egypt? We could have stayed there. Moses, you brought us out here to die. I'm tired of all this listen, as you take a nap, I need you to learn how to keep quiet. God says, I need you to learn that everything you think, you shouldn't say. The greatest sign of maturity is in the need of immaturity is in the need to speak out loud about everything. You don't have to say everything that comes across your mind. You don't have to tell everybody what's going on in your house. You don't have to post everything on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Up in the Lord is when you learn, you put it in a journal and not online. When you grow in the Lord and you have to learn the process of silence. You've got to pray about some stuff before you put it out there. So the Lord tells Israel to be quiet. But there's nowhere in the Bible where God tells the citizens of Jericho to be quiet. God tells Israel not to say anything. But notice he never says Jericho would not talk no one. The residents of Jericho are taunting them and teasing Israel. Israel is to remain quiet. The reason God says that this is because everyone should not get a response from you. Everyone who talks about you shouldn't hear you talk back. You don't have to respond to every criticism. You don't have to rebuke every critique. You don't have to controvert every opinion. There are some folks you just have to let them talk and not say anything in response. Can I tell you something? When you respond to ignorance, you validate it. But I'm not going to waste another minute of my life trying to change folks' opinion of me. You can think what you want about me. You can believe what you want about me. You can say what you want about me, because I don't care. You've got to learn how to let people talk and not talk back. Amen. Don't you know that the greatest way to put somebody in their place and to let them know that they have no authority in your life, that their words don't hurt you, their thoughts don't challenge you, is for you to know what they are saying and ignore it. God says, I need you to learn the ministry of presence. I need you to show up. I need you to learn the ministry of passivity. I need you to keep quiet. Then the text suggests that God wants you and I to learn about the ministry of perseverance. Learn how to keep going. God is trying to get that quit out of your spirit. He wants to put some stick-to-itiveness in your mind. Watch what happens. They get up, and this is what the Lord says. I want you to do 6 days. Take one lap around Jericho every day. Imagine, if you would, it's Monday. It's the first day. They get up, and everybody gets dressed. Soldiers put on their armor. The priest gets the Ark of the Covenant, and they prepare to walk around the city. They come back and they take off their armor. The priests put down the Ark of the Covenant and nothing happens. So they get up on Tuesday and they get dressed. The soldiers put on their armor. The priest gets the Ark of the Covenant. People began a 2 to 3 hour trip around the city of Jericho and nothing happened. They come back, take off their clothes. They take off their armor, put the ark down, and they see nothing. By Wednesday, after they put on their armor, put on their clothes, and taken the Ark of the Covenant, and they marched around the city, which has taken 2 to 3 hours, and they come back, taking it off, and put the Ark of the Covenant down. I believe I can hear somebody now say, now, Joshua, we've been marching around this city, and ain't man stone falling. What's going on here? You know how we are. We get impatient. We want things to happen right away. This don't make no sense. Have you ever heard the mumbling and rumbling because stuff doesn't happen in the time you want it to happen, how you want to happen? Some folk will give up if the answer doesn't come right after the amen. There are some folks who get frustrated that when they worship God, that God does not answer immediately. There are some folks who haven't learned that when you walk with God, you got to develop the discipline of being patient. That you have to learn how to wait when you walk with God. I know it doesn't sit well with you. You want God to do it right now when you want him to do it. But you don't serve a God who operates on demand. He's a God that operates in his own time. And I hear the songwriter say, he's a God that you can't hurry. But he'll be there. Don't you worry. And I can hear one of the preachers here, Tim Sloan in Texas, say, he may not come when you want him, but you'll want him when he comes. Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Is there anyone in here who has had to wait on the Lord God and found out that God will come through? Is there anybody in here who has to wait on him? And he has shown up. Won't he show up? Won't he open the door, shut in your face? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he give you joy and sorrow? Won't he give you hope for tomorrow? Won't he do it? You've got to learn how to keep going and doing what God has commanded you to do. Even when you don't feel like it and it seems like ain't nothing happening. The Bible says that they got up and marched around and nothing happened. So they got up the next day and nothing happened. And they got up the next day and nothing happened. They marched around the wall again and nothing happened. If you're going to walk with God, you have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can't quit now. You can't throw in the towel. You have to be faithful to God until God shows up.
Amen.
Could it be that the reason it only took one shot to bring down the walls on the seventh day because they persevered on day 1 through 6. Here's why some folk can shop on Sunday and don't nothing have to happen, because that's all you're doing. But if you want to, if you would persevere with God, if you would worship him on Monday, lift up holy hands on Tuesday, lift them on Wednesday, and trust them on Friday. Read your Bible on Saturday. By the time you get to the house of the Lord, all it takes is one amen to give God a shout. All it takes to give God some glory and for you to wave your hands is a hallelujah. But you've got to persevere. And I hear the songwriter say, I don't feel any way it's time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't feel like he's brought me this far to leave me. I hear another songwriter said, I feel like going on. I feel like going on the trials. Come on, every hand I feel like going on. Is there anybody in here today that can testify I've had some good days and I've had some bad days, that I've had some hills to climb, but when I look back over my life, all my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Is there anybody in here who can say, I'm going on, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to throw in the towel, but I'm going to keep on, I'm going to keep on pushing, I'm going to keep on praying, I'm going to keep on praising, I'm going to keep on serving, I'm going to keep on, because you know that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Is there anybody in here who's willing to give God some praise? Come on and praise Him. 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 For He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy.